Blog Talk Radio.
GP locker room. Hopefully you guys can hear me fine. We are in Northern California and we are going through a major rainstorm. So hopefully the connection is good for everybody listening tonight. We are extremely excited about tonight's show. Yesterday was a major day in college football in the lives of high school players, even some junior college players. But yesterday was college football signing day. It brings back many memories for me as a former recruit at the University of Colorado. I've got some gentlemen on the line tonight that have an affiliation with the day as well. And like I said, a lot of young dreams come to fruition on signing day, but it's a business, and it's evident that a business, due to all the hype and all of the television and some of the websites that wanted to dissect signing day today. We wanted to talk about some of the schools that had success yesterday. We wanted to talk about some of the recruits that we're affiliated with and want to give a shout out to. And we've got the perfect panel to do that. The gentleman that I want to start off with is a dear friend of mine, LaVar Collins. This is somebody that was the number one wide receiver in the country, you guys, coming out of Skyline back in 1996. Big Kevin Johnson or Andre Johnson type of receiver. Somebody that was at the University of Oregon, had a great career up there. I actually had a football league, especially some of you higher rated kids. On how to go through that journey. So I think we already have LaVar. Can you hear me tonight, Corey?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me fine?
We've had you on the show before, man, and I really appreciate the time tonight. I know you're down south in Texas, so thank you for giving us a little time.
No problem, man. Anything for my boy.
There you go.
Kids out there, man, that's striving to do that.
Yep, definitely. And we've got an audience of kids. Some of them signed yesterday. Some of them didn't. And we want to just give them some advice and some of your history and some of your recruiting stories to let them know. We also have Mr. Taylor Barton on the line. This is somebody that is a dear friend of mine. We played together at the University of Colorado. He went on to the University of Washington, was a quarterback in the Pac-10, now Pac-12. Gatorade Player of the Year, you guys, coming out of Beaverton, Oregon in high school. So highly recruited player. Now is the CEO of the Barton Football Academy and works with tons of kids who get signed year after year in the Northwest and on the West Coast. How's it going tonight, Taylor? Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great. How you doing, T-Web? What's good, man?
I'm doing good, man, and this is a great show to have you on because I know you're hands-on with so many young recruits, so we definitely want to get you on tonight, and we appreciate the time.
Always a good time getting on air with you, brother.
Perfect. So, hey, let's start off with you, Corey. You ended up at number one rated receiver coming out your senior year. A lot of attention on you in the Bay Area and nationwide. If you were eligible today in today's college football world, you'd probably be one of the guys, you know, waiting until the last day to commit and on TV. In your opinion, the changes in college football recruiting, do you think it's been good changes, or do you think that it's been a little bit too fast-paced for some of the young kids today?
As we grow, you know, we're kind of old school, so the game has been evolving, and the exposure for the game has been evolving. So, you know, it's kind of yin and yang with it. I think it's a little bit too fast because these guys are pretty much coming out and they're amateurs at what they do right now until they become professional. But as far as exposure, getting the kids out there to get to these big schools, I think it's a yin and yang with it, but it's also a little overwhelming for some of the people that's out there promoting their kids to go to college. Some of these parents are pretty much living through their kids, and that's why I think it's going a little bit too fast with that situation.
Well said right there. Now, you're somebody that was very highly recruited. You pretty much could have picked whatever school you wanted to go to. Do you feel sure family members, from friends, from other schools to make a decision?
In my case, I really didn't. I wish I would have just got more opinions on where from my family through my friends to where it's, you know where I should have been leaning on. Just to give me a little more options, you know. But other than that the people in my life, they were pretty much letting me do my own thing, let me go ahead and make my own decisions, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, these kids these days are pretty much living in a lifestyle to where social media plays a big part of things, and it kind of gets in the way. And it kind of gets pressure on these kids from the outside, people or family members through sports, people that you play with. You know, they might get you to try to lean somewhere else. But, you know, if the decision is based on family and what you want to do, then I think you should lean on family and go from there.
Great feedback right there. And obviously, you know, I appreciate your opinion because you're somebody who lived it. Let's go to you, Taylor. I mean, you were just as highly recruited coming out of the Oregon area, a quarterback, West Coast quarterback. You could have pretty much picked and choose where you wanted to go as well. At the end of the day, you decided to go to the University of Colorado. For a young man that may be thinking next year and making a decision next year, what do you think are some of the biggest factors choosing a college?
You know, I think the biggest thing is everybody has to look at it from their own standpoint. Just because your friends or family or people in the community think you should go to this place because it's more prestigious or they see it or whatever, you're the one that's going to school each day. You're the one that's living on the campus. You're the one that is going to practice and film every day. So the biggest thing to me when kids choose a college is choose the right fit for you for the right reasons. I think nowadays, especially with social media and all the TV and just the hype with everything, you know, I see kids that it's hashtag D1 bound. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, but you know what? You could go to a D2 school, get a great package, and go be an All-American and be big man on campus. So it's not all about D1 or the most prestigious school. You know, there's guys that go to big-time schools and don't play much. And other guys that go to smaller schools and start, they're the man and they have a great experience. So I think, you know, my decision was the right fit for me at the right time. You know, Colorado was in the Big 12 at that time. Now they're in the Pac-12. And your class, you were the class before me. You guys were number one in the country. So I wanted to walk into a place, and the year before you had gone 5-6. So I wanted to go to a place that had a lot of talent there, that had a quarterback that was going to be a senior where I could redshirt and then compete the next year, and that I could go to help a program take it to the next level. That's what I was looking for. But everyone is different. Some kids, it's more academics. Some want to stay closer to home. Some want to leave. So the biggest thing to me is take advice from everyone around you, but at the end of the day, do what's best for you because you're the one that has to live it.
Wow, good advice right there, Taylor. And I know that's the advice that you share with your athletes, so appreciate that feedback right there. As far as your situation, Corey, did you feel a difference between when Oregon was recruiting you and then when you finally got on campus? Was the dating period over, or was everything still the same?
I kind of felt that, you know, seemed like some things were the same. You know, things are different from when they host you and they want you to come and they recruit you and they show you all the good things and they treat you so nice and they value you as a player, as a somebody who's coming to their program to uplift the program and make it better. But as you touch on to campus and you realize that you sign with them and you're just another one of the guys, I mean, it can get to a point to where you feel that you've been just molded through. And, you know, it's just the process of going from high school to college football. The situation is different. Things are a little higher at stake, and they want to see you produce. So until you produce, it's just like someone of a rookie
right
coming into the NFL.
As far as football played with, you know, these coaches, there's coaching changes year after year. Right before this show, coach from UCLA, wide receiver coach Yarber, he's decided to go to the NFL. Do you think that these coaches can really be honest and upfront with these young men when they're sitting in their homes during the recruiting process? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, was that for me? I couldn't hear you.
Do you think that the coaches can really be honest with the players when most of the time they don't even know their own job security?
I think they should. You know, regardless, because you know, with these days, you don't know if you do get a new coaching position or at another school, that kid might transfer and want to come follow you. So I believe you should just come tell them the truth, whether you're going to be there a long time or whether you're going to be there temporarily. You should be honest with the players because, you know, that's the most important thing, especially if you want to see them excel and go on to the next level or even graduate out of college.
Perfect. Thank you for that feedback. And I want to go back to you, Taylor, because you have worked with many college coaches. I know that you do showcases. You're at events all the time where a lot of these coaches are. When I look over yesterday's final result, the top recruiting classes, you know, it's the usual suspects, it's the Alabamas, the Michigans, the Ohio States. In your opinion, why do these schools always tend to end at the top?
I mean, I was out at Alabama 2 summers ago and walked around their facilities and their campus. And I mean, there's they're next level in their facilities, but also just the history and tradition, right? When you walk through Alabama's hallways and Nick Saban walks by you and he's got an entourage, and then you see players walking by you that you've been watching the last couple of years. I mean, I think that's a draw to a lot of kids, right? Because they don't know anything more than just what they see watching TV on Saturdays. So those programs, you know, and there's a reason those coaches are there and getting paid the kind of money they are. They're great recruiters and they're great developers of talent. That's a big thing. I think there's a lot of good coaches in terms of recruiting out there, but then they get players on campus and can't develop them. And then there's a lot of good coaches in terms of developing kids, but they just can't recruit, so they can't get the good players on campus to develop. So, you know, those upper echelon schools have the coaches that can do both, and that's a really rare trait, and that's why the ADs and administrative people at the schools and boosters are willing to pay so much money. I mean, look at what a guy like Jim Harbaugh does coming in his first couple of years to Michigan. Turns it around. It's top five recruiting classes every year. Look at what Urban did at Ohio State, what Saban did at Alabama, Chris Peterson at University of Washington. I mean, they get paid the big money, and they come in and get the results.
At the end of the day, when these coaches are in these kids' homes and they're flying around the country trying to fill out their class, at the end of the day, what do you think most of these coaches are really looking for from a student athlete?
You know, that's such a good question, because I think that's what it really comes down to, is they watch film all day, highlight film, game film, and I mean, every kid looks good on a highlight film, right? No one's putting incompleted passes on their highlight or missed tackles or fumbles. So every kid looks pretty good on a highlight, obviously some better than others. But when you're at those top schools and you're at Alabama and you have one linebacker to offer and you've got nine guys that you've offered or are thinking of offering, they're all four or five star guys. What it really comes down to is the little things. What it comes down to is what the film doesn't show. And I'll give you a story. University of Oregon, they were recruiting one of our guys, and they had seen his film. They knew he was a stud. The high school coach said great things about him, like they expected. Their coach randomly called into the administrative office at the school, and whoever answered, he asked about that kid and just said, hey, can you tell me a little bit about this kid? What are your thoughts on him? Have you interacted with him at all? And they got feedback from just a random school counselor, and that's what's important to them. How do these kids behave in school? How do they talk to people that they don't need something from? Of course, they're going to be respectful to a college coach or their high school coach, but how do they treat teachers, school administrators? What kind of crew do they run with? You know, are they good academically? Are they good in the community? I think that's a big deal, because these schools are investing so much time and money into these kids, and they've got to win, but they've also got to win in good style. They can't have a bunch of kids getting arrested, getting DUIs, MIPs, domestic violence, any of that. So they really need to know and dig deep and go layer after layer of these kids, almost what pro does when they sit down and do interviews and they're checking every injury and background and all this. I mean, that's really what it's become with college now, especially not only having on-the-field coaches, but having player personnel departments. I mean, college is essentially now what the NFL was 10 or 15 years ago.
Wow, fabulous feedback right there. Hopefully you young players, some of you parents, are really paying attention to what these gentlemen are saying, because this is priceless. We have Mr. LaCorey Collins on the line. This is somebody that was the number one wide receiver coming out of California back in 1996, went on to the University of Oregon and played in the Arena Football League. We also have Mr. Taylor on. This is somebody that played quarterback at the University of Colorado and Washington and is now the CEO of football, Barton Football Academy, doing some amazing work in the Northwest. We've got these gentlemen on for a couple more minutes here, and then we're going to bring on one of our very own BYGP athletes, Elijah Cooks, who signed with Nevada yesterday. Last question I wanted to ask you, LaCorey. Obviously, there's more exposure on these kids than ever before. Can you talk to them about maybe watching their inner circle or cocooning themselves with who they hang around?
Yeah, that's a good point, T-Wood. These kids these days are pretty much, in cahoots with each other. And, there's nothing wrong with that, because you got players, you got friends that you grew up with, but you got to limit your circle when you're trying to go a little bit further. You got to leave some things back that's not going to help you get to that next level, whether it be academics, whether it be sports. You basically need someone in your circle that has the similar values that you have, and that can tell you about yourself when you are feeling a little bit outside of yourself. And that's what I believe LeBron James succeeds at. You know, he has a good corner. He has a good foundation. And he's helping a lot of people in the inner city, and he came from the inner city. So he survived what he's doing, and he has a good corner. So I believe these kids these days should, you know, surround yourself with people that have similar interests, be a good mentor for you, and help you prepare to the next level.
Great advice right there, Corey. And before we let you go, once again, thank you so much for your time. But, you know, some of these kids are grinding. There's a kid right now in Oakland, California, maybe at Skyline High, your alma mater, that is doing his push-ups tonight. He's stretching, and he's thinking about a year from now when he's going to sign with Michigan or Texas or something like that. What would you want to say to that young man that's a year away from signing day?
I would tell him to prepare himself, make sure he takes all his tests, he's doing well in school, he's mentally and physically prepared for the season, and that he puts himself first. You know, not saying put your family second, but put yourself first. Make sure yourself is important for the upcoming year, because that's the most crucial year that you have since you've been in high school. And then going on to the next level of college, you know, you want to be a little bit prepared, you know, so you don't fail, so you don't fall behind the wheel and get a little bit in that hole, because it's hard to get out of that hole. You got to have good time management to these young kids nowadays. College is a business in itself. You have to be on time for meetings, class, things like that. Have good study habits, you know, and don't get behind the wheel in them grades, because that will also put you behind the wheel on that field.
Wow, man. Well, hey, you guys are getting it from one of the best right now. This is somebody that lived it, you guys. We bring in people into the locker room that are currently living what you guys are going through or have done it before. So take advantage of what LaCorey is saying. Hey, man, thank you so much for your time, and we'll definitely have you back on soon.
I appreciate you having me, man. And to the little young guys out there, man, sky's the limit. Y'all just keep pounding that pavement and keep pushing.
There you go. LaCorey Collins, University of Oregon superstar. End with you right here, Taylor, before we get on to young Elijah. You're somebody, once again, highly recruited. You could pick and chose where you wanted to go to. For those that are in the grind right now, just like I gave the question to Corey, maybe paint the picture for them, Taylor, as far as, was your signing day worth all the work that you put in all those days passing with your dad? Many don't know that your dad was a pro quarterback, Detroit Lions. Was signing day for you worth all the work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, most definitely. And it was worth the work when I'm out on the field. My very first start in college was in front of 100,000 people on ABC and in the Rose Bowl. I mean,
wow.
You know, so, yes, it's definitely worth that. But the thing I would say to the kids is, everybody wants that, but few are really willing to put in the necessary work to get that. You know, I always start on my camps when I run them, and just to prove a point, I with all the kids, I say, raise your hand if you want to get a college scholarship. And I've never had a kid not raise his hand. I say, raise your hand if you want to play in the NFL someday. And I've never had a kid not raise his hand. I mean, you go anywhere in the country, and that's the way it is. Everybody wants a scholarship. Everyone wants to play in the NFL. They want to be big man on campus. They want to have all the girls wanting them. They want to make millions of dollars. Yeah, of course everyone wants that. But what no one sees is the work that Tom Brady and Drew Brees and, you know, Adrian Peterson and Richard Sherman are putting in January and February and March and April at 5:30 a.m., at 9:50 p.m., The days where everyone else is saying, oh, you know, it's my sister's birthday, I'm taking today off, I'll be back in the gym tomorrow. Or, hey, I'm really tired, I've got things going on, I'll get back tomorrow. Well, you just missed an opportunity, because there's guys out there that don't have that choice. They're hungry. And I was one of those guys. I watched people and I said, you know what, hey, you guys go take the day off, you guys go to the beach, do your thing. I'm going to get in the gym, I'm going to go get my workout in, and then I'll still go to the beach and have fun or go to a movie. But I'm going to get in my work,
and I'm going to outwork you, and that's why you're going to be watching me on TV someday.
I love it, man. Last but not least, you know, signing day is so highly publicized that, you know, a lot of these kids count on themselves if they don't sign on that first Wednesday of February each year. In your experience, do kids sign after signing day, and do you think there's still maybe some good university opportunities available?
Yeah, so I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I think that is one of the biggest myths and misunderstanding kids and families have. Signing day is the first Wednesday in February every year. That is the first day you can sign. That is not the last day. There is still recruiting taking place every day for a long time. Most D1s are done, but they still might have some spots and preferred walk-ons. But D2, D3, and AI schools, a lot of them are just starting to recruit now because they had to see who was going D1, and they have limited resources. So they kind of wait and hover around and then start going on kids. And we're running a showcase in 2 weeks up here in the Northwest, and we'll have 20 to 30 different colleges from all around the country there looking at current seniors that are still looking to find a home and underclassmen looking to get a head start. So there's a lot of opportunities. So just because you didn't sign yesterday, it's not the end game. Still keep working out, still keep believing, stay proactive, because there are still a lot of opportunities out there. And if you end up without an offer or with no offers that you're happy about, there's options for you to go to junior college or go to prep school. So there are options out there. Aaron Rodgers was a kid. He's a kid that I've trained since he was in middle school, early high school. And when he came out of high school, his senior year, Terrence, and remember, I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers here. He did not have a single scholarship offer coming out of high school. Not a single offer. And no, you did not hear me wrong. Aaron Rodgers. Not a single scholarship coming out of high school. And he used that as a chip on his shoulder and said, okay, no one believes in me. I still believe in myself. He kept putting in the work. It drove him. He went to a junior college. He gets to a junior college, people will still overlooking him. Jeff Tedford at Cal went to the school he was at to look at a tight end and happened to see Aaron during practice and said, whoa, this kid's pretty good. And the rest is history. So at the end of the day, there's opportunities out there, but what you can't do is quit believing in yourself, because at that point, then it truly is over for you.
Wow, man. Well, you can drop the mic on that. I heard it right there from Taylor Barton. Keep on fighting. If you didn't sign yesterday, there's still opportunity, but you got to believe in it. Hey, Taylor, we love to have you on as always, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Always fun getting on here with you, T. Wood.
All right, buddy. So, hey, there you guys have it. That is Mr. Barton, very dear friend of mine. That is somebody that was a big-time high school football player coming out of Oregon, went off to the University of Colorado in Washington, and is now doing amazing work, you guys, in the Northwest. His camps, his showcases, his trainings are spread across the country. We had an amazing showcase this past summer that a lot of kids got Division I, Division II scholarships from. So you guys keep an eye out for Taylor. You can check him out at BartonFootballAcademy.com as well. We finally are able to get to our young superstar. This is Mr. Elijah Cooks. This is somebody that had a great career at Atascadero High School, both on the football field and on the hardwood, the basketball court. And last year yesterday signed with Nevada, and is going to play his college football in the Mountain West. Hey, Elijah, can you hear us tonight?
Yes, I can. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. And sorry for keeping you on hold, but we definitely wanted to bring you in. We appreciate the time.
Oh, it's fine. It's perfect. I'm happy to be here.
Perfect. Well, hey, I know it's been an amazing 24 hours for you. Really, it's been an amazing month for you. I know there's been a lot of action going on. First and foremost, congratulations. And are you happy to get it all done?
Yeah, it's big stress reliever just knowing where I'm going next year. Just time to start getting ready for next year.
Definitely. So you're going to the University of Nevada, Division 1A program, big-time football. I think you guys are starting off with Northwestern next year. What was it about Nevada that you liked?
My cousin played there when I was young, so I used to go to some games, and I just loved it up there. And I have family down there, and I've always loved Reno. Reno's always been a special place to me. Like, every time I went down there for like a basketball tournament, I'd always enjoy myself. The games, atmosphere, and the school is just great.
Amazing, man. Any chance to maybe walk on to the basketball team?
Oh, no. After this season, I think my basketball days are over.
I hear you. You're hanging up the sneaker. I got you. As far as and I want you to be honest and real here, Elijah, because there are a lot of kids maybe listening or going to listen to this show in the future that they want what you have. They want a Division I scholarship, a Division II scholarship. They want to sign a letter of intent. And I know you put in a lot of work to get that done.
Yeah.
But for those kids listening, Elijah, can you give maybe a couple of the likes of the recruiting process? For you?
The likes and the dislikes? I can't hear you. Kind of broke up right there. Sorry.
Yeah, a couple of the likes and dislikes about the recruiting process, in your opinion?
Well, of course the likes are, you know, just getting – the best part is getting a call from a college coach or, like, a text. That's always amazing. You know, like, just knowing, like, all right, I'm on the radar. But the dislikes is, like, yeah, you may not be getting looked at by a school you want or, like – schools may not be looking at you that much. That still doesn't mean don't put in hard work. That means you just got to push harder and harder to get what you want. Nothing's going to come easy to you. That's what I learned. I learned this year I decided to play wide receiver. And years before this, I was a quarterback, and I realized that I couldn't do that. So I went to wide receiver and know something I could do is just work extremely hard. And that's why I got what I got right now.
Wow, amazing right there. And hopefully you players are listening to Elijah. He's somebody that worked his tail off, you guys, to get a six-figure scholarship on the table. What are some of the things that the Nevada staff has told you on why they like you?
They told me that they like my height and my ability to make plays. That was their big recruiting point this year. They wanted, because they're going air raid this year. They're main pass, so they wanted guys who would make plays, could do stuff on the special teams, stuff on the offensive end, defensive end. They just wanted players who would do big plays in big situations.
And you definitely are that. Anybody who's seen you play or watched your highlight film, there's nothing but a huge play. I know they got a diamond in the rough. You're from Atascadero High, which is a little hidden in California. You know, it's not modern day. Or De La Salle. So, you know, a lot of schools might have overlooked you. I know there's some Mountain West schools that were really interested in you but didn't pull the trigger. Do you have any thoughts on do you maybe play with a chip on your shoulder a little bit because of that?
Yeah, of course. I'm going to go into this season just knowing that I know I'm at the right school, but I just know, like, I'm going to go into every game knowing, like, I could have been there, like, you had an opportunity, but they just didn't believe in me. And Nevada did, so that's why I'm going to go with a big chip on my shoulder.
Definitely. Excuse me. And last but not least, Elijah, before we let you go here, and once again, appreciate the time, but, there are kids that are listening and they need advice. They tune in because they want that support. They want that advice. If you were to talk to Elijah Cook a year ago, or if you were to talk to a kid that's going to be signing a year from now, what's the best advice you could give to a kid that's still in the grind trying to get a college football scholarship?
Just keep working hard, no matter what you do. Like, even in the times you feel down, like if you go to camp and don't feel like you performed your best, like, still go to the best of your ability. Go 110% every single time. That's the best you could do. That's what I did at these camps. I went 110% every single time, and I came out with a college scholarship. Every single play, like, no matter what, even if you know you're not going to succeed on this play, go 110%. Coaches notice that.
Great point right there, Elijah. So do you recommend that young kids, they get active in the off season and they go to camps and combines?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Camps gets you recruited heavily. I went to the Golden Gate Showcase down in the Bay Area. That got me my first scholarship at that camp.
Wow. Okay, man. So that is some big-time information for all of you young athletes out there listening that want to play maybe in the Mountain West Conference one day like Elijah. So, hey, we're so proud of you, Elijah, and we know you're going to kill
Thank
it
you.
Next year in the Mountain West. So congratulations.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, so there you guys have it. That is young Elijah Cooks, a BYGP athlete, star tight end, wide receiver at Atascadero High School in California. But he is fortunate, very, very fortunate, you guys, to sign a scholarship offer, a full-ride scholarship offer to the University of Nevada. And like I said, big-time football. They're playing against a big-time opponent, Northwestern University, first game of the year. So we are very excited about him. We are very excited about the other that signed yesterday. To Coach Taylor Barton's point, there are so many offers yet to be offered. There are so many schools that are still looking. They didn't get that young man that they thought they would get yesterday, and they need a running back. They need a receiver. They need a D tackle. I had a Division II school call me 2 days ago and say, I need a Division II D tackle that's over 6 foot. Who you got? So these schools have money set aside. And not all of them filled their holes yesterday. So you guys stay positive if you didn't sign yesterday. Stay active. There's junior colleges out there. There's prep schools. You need to pick up the phone. You need to maybe call out to a few stars before you go pro. Get some advice. Get some leadership, some support behind your offer. Hopefully tonight's show did a lot for you guys. Some of you guys hopefully tonight provided some good insight and some good knowledge to what the signing is all about and what this college football business is about. So I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. Hope you guys got a lot out of tonight's show, and we will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.